region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
I don't know how much Jordan the intern has paid Bron and Nola East.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, tweeting out there, you're schooling me. Like,
Brian says, shake my head. What? The intern is schooling the host.
Schooling me on what? Because I'm not calling him an all-star? I said I like the signing.
I never called him an all-star.
What more do I need to say? I like the signing.
That's not what you sound like. No, you say that he's a bum. You're basically telling me he's a bum. He's going to get cut.
Never say he's a bum.
During the break, did you not say, oh, I can't wait for him to get cut, so I'm going to shove it in your face?
Okay. That, wow.
Yeah.
Joey, welcome us to the midway point of the work week so I can strangle our intern.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more about what that Camel Wednesday hump day is.
We're going to get into this a little bit later. 115. At ESPN Radio Lola is the way to get involved in a conversation. And we'll get into this. I want to know, whose side are you on? All-star, or you like the signing, apparently. I didn't realize liking the signing was not as good as being an all-star. Words of wisdom from Sean G and a Digital Underground.
All the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
Welcome to the midway point of your work week, where now, from here on out, there will be football on weekends, no matter what, right? Football. After you hear this, you know football is now here with you for the next several months. Obviously, preseason gets underway for the rest of the NFL. Bears and Ravens did the Hall of Fame game last week. Saints and Jaguars coming up bottom of this hour. John Reed of the Florida Times Union will chat with us and tell us the very latest what's going on in Jacksonville, including why our starters 100-plus team period snaps in 100-plus degree heat. Blake Bortles himself, 55 team snaps. What is he trying to do? Doug Marrone, we'll talk about a team that many have winning the AFC this year. So we'll see what's going on with John, who used to cover the Hornets and Pelicans back in the day, Florida Times Picayune and NOLA.com before moving out to Jacksonville 2 years ago. So we'll catch up with John here, bottom of the hour. And then the rest of the way, we'll have some conversation. Tomorrow, don't forget, it'll be the first of many straight Thursday lunch clubs here on ESPN. Vinny's Caddyshack, 3217 Ridge Lake. What is it? I think it's like 17th Street and Ridge Lake. It's a street off of Causeway, right across the street from Lakeside Mall. You know where it is. We were there a couple of weeks or months ago, and we loved it. So we're going to be there again. It's going to be our Thursday spot, just like on Fridays. We're at Deuce McAllister's Old St. Kitchen and Tap. On Thursdays, we'll be at Vinny's Caddyshack. So stop on by, have some lunch. John Forcade has checked in. He will be there tomorrow, kind of help us get ready for game day as well. We'll go over the top five things to look for. Jordan the intern and I'm going to be putting something up tonight on our website as well. Five things to look at. He's going to be focusing, obviously, on the rookies and things from that nature. I will as well. I don't know if we'll allow Brian and Ola East to do anything or not.
Just because he agrees with me?
Well.
Wow, this is where we come to.
Yep. Todd works.
In our show.
That's. Oh. I get to, you know, make the decision.
I cannot wait at Harley Davidson with that throwing competition.
That is coming up on Saturday, by the way. We'll be at New Orleans Harley Davidson. If you're going to the Saints Open practice on Saturday, cross the street on Airline Drive. That's where we'll be. Free food. And when I say food, it's burgers, it's dogs, it's chicken, it's sausage. And you have free ice cream.
Free beer,
free water. And we're going to do a football toss. Best of five throws. It's, you know, it looks like it's a receiver and it's an open hole there. And you have to throw the football in. And we will video it and you'll see who wins. But you can as well. And if you win and you beat any of us, you get a gift card. You get some prizes as well. So stop on by. It's across the street right after practice. We'll be over there. But, yes, football's around the corner, including high school football. As we spoke with Brendan Mathurin earlier to start the show, and he took a selfie earlier this week at the brand new South Lafourche Tarpon football field. Really nice, the blue in the end zone popping out. So I figured, why not talk to the head coach as well? Blake Forsythe joins us here on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Coach, how are you this afternoon?
We're having a great day here. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Is it a problem to have, you know, people like Brendan and others just stopping by and taking selfies in the end zone? There seems to be a lot of excitement about that new field.
I'll tell you what, bro. We've been at school nonstop for the last couple of weeks. He did a very good job of sneaking out there because I didn't notice him until I saw it on Twitter a little while later. So he did a really good job of sneaking out there onto the field.
How nice is it to have that field, though?
It's very nice. So we were able to get onto it for the first time Monday. Monday, we were only able to get on it for about 20 minutes before the weather chased us out. But yesterday, we were able to go out for about 2 hours and 15 minutes on it. Our practice field's been kind of wet, and we've been kind of tearing it up with the weather. Able to go out yesterday, have a nice, really dry surface to work on. The kids were able to move around, and it comes up with the film really well for watching practice film afterwards. So it was very nice to be able to get out there yesterday and get a full workout in on it.
You know, Coach, we talk about all the time when it comes to recruiting high school athletes to come play at universities, facilities really matter. That's kind of the same in high school, isn't it? When you get a little bump in facility like that, it gives a little pride, a little more, little maybe pep in the step to some of the kids?
I think so. And we really do have some of the finest facilities around here at South Lafourche. You know, we got a locker room that's got 90 lockers in it for the varsity side. We've got another 60 in the freshman side. Weight room, two coaches' office, athletic trainer, all in the field house. Got a big stadium, Memorial Stadium, one of the bigger stadiums in our area. Now with the turf field, that's getting a fresh coat of paint. We're going to unveil some new uniforms here for this season. A lot of exciting things going on for the Tarpons, and I think that's going to help us to grow our numbers in the program as we move forward with all these new things that are happening around the program.
Mm. I'll tell you, one of the things that I've learned in the last several weeks, we did a couple of remotes here at home and talking to a lot of the different kids in this area and coaches as well. There's some pretty good football to be played down here.
There is, you know, and I think oftentimes the Bayou region gets overshadowed by the New Orleans metro area, the River Parishes, the Baton Rouge, you know, just because they're on that I-10 corridor. But I tell you what, in the home of Thibodaux area between Lafourche and Terrebonne Parish, there's a lot of really talented football teams, and there's a lot of really tough games that are played with a lot of long-time rivalries out here. The grade of football here is just as good as it is anywhere else, if not better.
Speaking with head coach Blake Forsyth of the South Lafourche Tarpons, and of course you can listen to South Lafourche football all season long right here on ESPN New Orleans. Coach, last season to this season, biggest difference for your football team that went 6-4?
You know, I think the biggest thing is we've got more kids in the program. We've got a little more depth. I think last season we finished the season with about 57, and right now we've got 82 in the program, 9-12. So a lot more depth going on. We've kind of tweaked some things on offense and defense that really I think is going to be more beneficial to our kids. We're not always the fastest team around, so we changed up a couple things that's really going to benefit us. And I think the commitment's been the big thing. We had 95% attendance overall throughout the summer.
Wow.
We had almost 40 guys that had perfect attendance during the summer. So I think the commitment and the hunger for this team is going to be the biggest difference. And now they kind of know what to expect out of me versus last year is kind of unknown. They know how things are. They know what's expected of them. So it's been a lot more smooth so far this season.
Well, since you are in the home of Tarpon football, Coach, why don't you tell some of your listeners and some of the fans tuning in, perhaps some kids that really have made some strides during the summer, maybe some kids that you think are going to set out to have some pretty good seasons here in 2018.
I'll tell you what, a guy that played on the defensive side of the ball, played some last year in the safety spot. He's moved down to outside linebacker as he's grown, that we're really excited about, is Austin Danoff. He's going to be a junior. Played a couple games for us last year, free safety, moved back down to linebacker where he's a little more natural. He's a guy that people need to keep an eye out for. He's about to have a really big year on the defensive side of the ball for us. We got a couple starters coming back. Our quarterback, Brock Bayou, I've been very excited working with him. Such a smart kid. He's a 4.0 student. He's improved with throwing the ball, makes good decisions, and the way he leads the offense, We're expecting a bigger year out of Brock than what he had last year, and he did pretty good for us last year. So we like the way we're heading. I like my front seven on defense. We truly go seven deep on the defensive line. The offensive line, we're a little bit bigger than we were last year. We got a couple 6'3", 270-pounders up there, along with some guys that can run. I'm very excited about. There's a lot of positions on this team that I'm very excited about right now.
Now I can hear it, Coach. Definitely, and that's always good. Obviously, before the season starts, when you take a look at you guys' schedule, it opens up against a school that made some noise last year for sure. You'll be on the road the first 2 weeks at De La Salle, Thibodaux, before you open up at home against Central Lafourche. That first game, real good test, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, De La Salle, and that's the thing. When you played them last year, you knew what kind of team you were getting, and we saw them. We knew they were good going in. We knew they were good after the game, and we may not have realized how good until, you know, they go in there and they play the Car and a Riverside and some of the other teams that they played throughout the year, and you're just like, wow, this team was a lot better than expected, and I expect them to be just as good this year. You know, they've got a stable of running backs. They've got some big defensive linemen, a really good defensive backfield, along with their whole coaching staff coming back. Coach Manali does a great job over there. I don't know if they've lost a regular season game in the last 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
At De La Salle. You know, they're really rock and roll. Big, big test for us week one, especially. Game got moved up to Thursday night, so we're going to have to adjust the plane on a different night and traveling into New Orleans to go play them at one of their home sites. That's going to be a big, big test week one.
Final question for you, speaking with head coach Blake Forsyth of the South Lafourche Tarpons here. What are the expectation levels this year? Obviously 6-4 last year. What are you kind of telling your kids this year that we should be expecting?
The biggest thing that I'm expecting out of this team is we need to learn how to win in November. You know, that's not something that happens by accident. Teams don't just magically start making runs to the Superdome. That happens very, very rarely. If you look at most programs, it's a process. Last year, we hosted a first-round playoff game, but we didn't win it. Well, this year, we want to get into the playoffs. We want to win a first-round playoff game and start learning how to look at a week two or a week three in the playoffs. That's one of the big things. We want to learn and expect to play football deeper into November. So that's what we're pushing for this year. We want to learn how to play football in November.
Coach, a pleasure, and it'll be the first of a few visits we'll have with you throughout the season, as well as ESPN New Orleans is your home for South Lafourche Tarpon football. Right here, you can check out all of those games each and every week. Coach, thanks so much for a little bit of your time, and go shoo off people taking selfies on that new football field.
Thank you, guys. It was a joy being on with y'all.
For sure. Appreciate it. Thank you, Coach. Quick break when we come back. Fine. We'll get into it. Apparently, Jordan's using the lifeline, or the call-in line. Brian and Elise wants to chime in and take your side. We'll see why. But when we come back, I'll actually give you some news. The NBA, as I said, at 1 o'clock was going to release the opening week and the schedule for Christmas and Martin Luther King. We got it. Pels, getting a little bit of respect, Joey. That's all I'm going to say. Little respect on opening week. I'll talk about that when we come back next on ESPN New Orleans. Back with some nice music, but Joey, see, can you pod my laptop up? I got to make this official.
1 year it's Washington. Last year
more than
US.
Anything else is because we got to get to the main news, and of course, the main news is that we do have some hoops news, and that is that we actually do have some basketball news when it comes to none other than your New Orleans Pelicans and the Pels opening week. That schedule is out. At least what all the teams are doing. October 17th, Pelicans opening up on national television on ESPN. They've been doing that the last couple of years at Golden State, TNT, and stuff like that. So that's a little respect. It's at Houston. Number one seed in the Western Conference. Carmelo.
They're going to drop to the fifth seed.
What are you even talking about? Again, see,
Houston Rockets.
This is why your mic just doesn't need to just always be open.
I'm talking about the Houston Rockets.
What are you remotely even? We're talking about the Pels opening up against Houston. I haven't even got into the matchup of games, and you're saying they're dropping to the fifth.
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind? Well,
then y'all say, oh, he's one of the first seeds, the number one seed in the West.
Last year.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're barely paying attention.
I'm jumping.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're jumping into a conversation you're barely paying attention to.
No. They're going to be the fifth seed in the West next year. I'm just telling you facts.
You're like dealing like with Skip Bayless. You know? That's what really where you are. You're like George Costanza and Skip Bayless. You just jump in
into
a conversation. You don't even know what was going on. And then here's my hot take. And it's like, what? What are you even talking about? I'm telling people, Pels open up the season at Houston on ESPN. Last year's number one seed, and you just jump in. They're dropping to five.
Because I'm just ready for you to bash us. Oh, we're going to lose against the Houston Rockets, and they're going to be the number one seed again in the West.
Never said that. I
was waiting for it. I was saving your breath.
For the Pelicans to get in involved on ESPN. Also, the Martin Luther King schedule is out. Pels will be on TNT, nationally televised game. Pels at Memphis. I want to say, out of the last like five or seven MLK Day games, it's been Memphis Grizzlies, especially at Memphis, if not hosting them. So, anyway, Pels open up the regular season October 17th. That is a Wednesday at Houston on ESPN. Don't know what the home game is yet, the first home game, or you know when that happens or not. But I'm assuming, since it's Houston and it's local, that maybe it might be like on a Friday night here at home. So I know last year was sort of like that with Golden State. Then they faced Golden State, I want to say again, a couple days later here at home. Anyway, so October 17th, Pels open up against Houston, ESPN. The season starts overall for the league October 16th. That is 76ers and Celtics in Boston. Golden State at OKC is your opening pair of games to get things going. Then the rest of the league, including the Pels, start a day later. Jimmy wants to chime in on the conversation. Again, if you missed it, Pels signing Jahlil Okafor to a deal. 2 years, partial agreement, partial guarantee. So little guarantee money in year one. It's a team option in year two. Jimmy, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hey, Gus. Okay, so question here. Before I get into Jahlil Okafor, have the Pelicans or the Hornets, in your history of following sport, ever had a player, a prominent player, come here at the height of their career voluntarily?
Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
Has that ever happened? And you stop and think to yourself, Gus, every player we've ever had, whether it be Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, Baron Davis, who else, Tyson Chandler traded here. Everyone's been traded here or drafted here. Okay, not by choice.
Right.
Okay, I'm not saying they didn't want to be here per se. My point is we've never had a prominent player come here at the height of their career with no question marks or injuries or just, like this Okafor guy. He's only 22, but there's question marks about him. I'm reading his Wikipedia. Obviously, he got drafted to a really, really bad team, and then they took their draft picks from that really bad team and went in the Embiid Simmons direction. Then he goes to the Nets. He's only 22, Gus. So my question to you is why are the Pelicans and the Hornets just not enticing franchise for a prominent player to want to come here, especially when we have had two Hall of Famers basically in the last decade, Chris Paul and Anthony Davis, to build around, and we still can't get people to voluntarily come here. As far as the side of the intern or you, as far as Okafor is concerned, I'm looking at his Wikipedia. He's only 22 years old, Gus. He's kind of, I wouldn't say had a bad hand here, but the two teams he played with, I'm hopeful. And based on the fact no one comes here voluntarily, I'm hopeful we can get the Duke Okafor that we all saw a few years back in college. And, I mean, what other option do we have? And is Randall and Alfred Payton enough to put that as the face of the franchise? I mean, Rondo and Boogie, we had some great faces last year, Gus. We still couldn't get people in the arena.
Right.
We needed to do something. So, overall, I'm satisfied. It's better than nothing. I think it takes Davis out of that center spot, which we know he didn't want to do. I mean, he kind of has the facial expression of Aminu, which, we all remember. He just looked spaced out on the floor. Aminu did with the – just frustrated me. And it seems like Okafor has – every picture I see online of him, he's got the same facial expression. But he's only 22, Gus. So, I mean, in the end, I'm going to have to say more power to him. Let's see what happens. He'll probably be starting for us. And
boom.
Kind of sad, oh, but boy. I don't know what the issue is. So, boom, there it is.
Okay. Boom.
You know what?
Heard it here. Right? Hot take.
You didn't hear nothing. Stop it. Jimmy, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. First off, Joey, do you have what is it that Shaq the icy hot patches, the Neok, that Shaquille O'Neal, the dollar store right next door, yeah. Dollar General? Can you go see if we got some? Because Jordan is going to pull a muscle with the amount of arm gestures, hand gestures, leg gestures.
I'm just giving the people
moving.
A voice.
I mean, you're hip thrust. I don't know what you're doing over there after every sentence that Jimmy was saying. And I don't really know what was being said other than there's a lot of hope and belief in a guy, because Jimmy's right. He's only 22. But yet at 22, everybody is writing this, the following. This is his last shot before he goes to China. So when a player's being written about and spoken about like that, there's hope that he can provide something. But let's stop short of saying that he's going to help pack the arena.
He was dealt a bad
bring
hand,
the Pelicans like to Jimmy the finals said. And be an all-NBA starter. Does he have the potential to? Sure he did. But again, if he had those other potentials, somebody would have offered him a longer deal and a better deal. I said I liked the move because it was low risk. And then you, during the break, went from all NBA, let's buy his jersey and start making a statue, to I think it's a decent move. Did you or did you not say that
decent,
to Jimmy?
Is it decent?
Hold on. Did you or didn't you say
I
that?
I did.
So
but
how
don't,
does
don't
decent,
miss,
no,
don't
wait a minute.
Skew my
so,
words.
I'm not skewing anything.
Yes,
on the
you
air,
are.
You're acting like I am not on board with Jahlil Okafor.
I said
because I'm not calling
a
him a
move.
Starter against Houston. B, all NBA team, and yet you tell the caller during the break it's a decent move. Decent in the way you're acting is nowhere near in the same stratosphere. Brian and Ola East joining us, and I can't wait for this phone call.
You want to hear the definition of decent?
Yes, please. What's the decent
of
definition?
An acceptable standard, satisfactory.
Acceptable. That's what I said. It's
I'm
a good
satisfied.
Move. I mean, no, you're not saying satisfied. You're saying he's taking the Pels to the finals.
I never said that.
That's what you did. Brian and Ola East, what do you have?
First of all, I find it totally ironic that the guy who was ready to put JT Barrett in the Rookie Hall of Fame.
Okay, see, here we go. Here we go.
Speak.
Now you want to sit down and tell people to calm down on Okafor.
Okay.
Isn't
see,
that ironic?
First off, did I ever say JT Barrett was the apparent Hall of Fame
yep.
predecessor to Drew Brees?
Yep.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
That's the problem.
No,
yes.
I didn't.
So, okay, said no, implied yes.
No,
that's
not.
The reason why everyone thinks you put JT Barrett in the Rookie Hall of Fame
oh,
because of
God.
One single practice that you saw during OTA, not even OTA, rookie camp.
Okay. Can I ask?
By the way, didn't you interview JT Barrett?
Yeah, can I ask you something?
Sure, you can ask me.
Did you agree with me at the time I said that?
No.
No!
I said he looked good.
Yeah, here we go.
Good.
Here we go. Pinocchio on the other line here. Pinocchio from NOLA East. You absolutely agree that he was the guy that stood out that practice, that stood out in rookie minicamp. That's all I said.
Yeah, maybe in the locker room
and
with
then,
basketball.
And then I said, let's see what happens when he gets into OTAs, when the playbook's bigger, and he's with the rest of the people. And then you and David started saying I put him in the Hall of Fame. I didn't put him in the Hall of Fame. I said, who was the guy that stood out? It was him.
Oh, you know what? I'm so glad that the intern has been schooling you today.
Here we go.
That is the one man who can check the files and go to the archives and just hear you rambling on.
Go ahead.
My goodness, Gus. I tell you what. Let me explain to you.
Here we go.
One reason and one reason only why Jahlil Okafor signing is great. How long has Alexi Ajensa been on the bench? That's the question.
Okay.
How long has he been on the bench?
He doesn't need to play. I get it. Scott and I said he's not going to play anymore. That's fine. So because somebody can actually step on the floor, it's a great signing.
Bingo! Alexi Ajensa, last time I checked, 5.3 mil to watch the game from a seat.
What are you booming about?
If a can't get on the court and you're paying him $5 million, you're not even paying Okafor what a second round draft pick would get. And yet he's going to take the floor for you. If he gives you 10 points, guess what he gave you? 4 points in Solomon Hill, Alexi Ajinsa, Frank Jackson. Do I need to go on?
Please go on.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you two right
oh,
now.
Oh, and I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind. Who's another backup center that you had that wouldn't give? Oh, that's right. That would be Ashik. He's no longer with us.
Schooled.
He got paid a whole bunch to not do anything.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking about guys that aren't even going to touch the floor. If Ajinsa, Hill, Cheick Diallo, God bless him, he gives all heart and effort, but he also gives you maybe 4 points a game. I mean, come on now.
Preach.
Are you seriously telling me that the deal that Okafor got should be calmed down upon simply when he's going to actually get on the floor?
Did I not say I like the deal?
No.
Y'all are acting like it was the greatest offseason move that the Pelicans have made, and all I'm saying is, yes, let's calm down a bit. That's all I'm saying.
You said he wouldn't make the squad.
I like the idea that you're being pessimistic. I love that you're being pessimistic. I wish you would be more pessimistic about the Saints.
Oh, here we go.
That would mean to actually do it.
Wait, hold on.
Anytime you're...
Don't yap him just that. Why are you hype-manning this now? And when did you become his hype man?
Because he's logical and he's making sense right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's his hype man? Jordan and I share one thing in particular.
Mm-hmm.
He's all these hot takes.
Yeah.
Hot takes. Give me a break.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Jordan the Intern. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Brian
Olise. That's the time we have for Brian Olise. Unfortunately, we've reached the bottom of the hour, and it's time to take a break.
We are the people's voice.
You and we?
Yeah, me and Brian.
You're the people's voice, really?
Yeah. Obviously, you want to see New Orleans sports fail all the time.
That's exactly what I want. I want failure. Just because I'm telling
people. The Saints
people,
are going to do horrible this year.
That's exactly what I've been saying.
Oh, you're right. The Pelicans, man. They're not looking too hot after losing to Marcus Cousins.
What? Who said that?
You.
Once again, flat out lie. Flat out lie.
No. Let me bring out the audio tapes just like the Aaron Rodgers from a couple months ago.
Bring out the audio tapes. You'll hear me say the direct opposite when it came to the Marcus. 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime in, the Jahlil Okafor signing. How about this? Tempered enthusiasm or...
Stop trying to change up the
NBA
question. No.
Starter.
No.
That's what I'm getting from you two. What? I'm going to stop right in the middle of it because this is your problem right here. Learning experience on the air. What?
I wasn't doing anything.
What?
What?
Shouldn't we have a guest on right now?
Yeah, but you were too busy screaming at me. Oh, your argument's invalid.
Why have you
He won't make the squad.
Here we go. Why have we not dialed them up yet?
Because you were too busy screaming. I mean, I was trying to defend myself.
No. Why have you not dialed?
I don't know his number.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's bad on... That's your part.
Really?
That's bad on your part.
It's not on my notepad right here. Did you ask me for the number before the show started? Did you write it down?
I was doing this,
did
so I wouldn't interrupt
during
the show.
The three-minute break that we just had, right before the guest, did you? No. You were busy patting yourself on the back.
I was not patting myself
running
on the back.
Your mouth. And then in the middle of it, you questioned your argument. When I told you it was a silly argument that you had that a player needs the right system, player, and everything around him for him to succeed, and only
not
then can they succeed.
It.
And then you said, I don't think that was my argument. That's what you
said. No, I said that wasn't my argument.
That's what you said.
I said it just like that wasn't my argument.
That's
I said
not how you said it.
76ers
but
whole point
But what's happened
was...
in the meantime? We're now 7 minutes late talking to our guest.
That's one. Yeah.
No, it's not. This is your show, remember? Your people's show.
I never said it was my show.
How about you take my notepad, walk over to the telephone, and go get our guest on the phone?
Guess I don't like this.
Can you go do
I
that?
I don't like how you're talking.
It'd be great if you could actually do your job. Go get us the guest that I booked and scheduled since you didn't. I don't know what you were doing last night, but you didn't. Okay, you're still talking. Go dial. Anyway, NCAA announcing. The new basketball policy, the thing that's interesting about it is this. Essentially, high-end hoop players, right, like elite basketball players in high school, they can sign with an agent. Now, the agent has to be approved, by the program or by the NCAA, and if they do and don't get drafted, they can go to school. Mark Emmert of the NCAA says he wants to continue to work with the NBA and the Players Association and apparel companies and USA Basketball to come up with more solutions when it comes to creating and prioritizing, I guess, promoting, as he says, the integrity of the game, strength and accountability, and the interest of student athletes over every other factor as well. So, well, keep in mind more on that. We'll touch on it as I think it's a huge deal that, again, they're able to be able to see where they're going to go, talk with people, and yet still be able to come back in and play basketball. So, or go to school. It's interesting from that aspect when it comes to it. John Reed of the Florida Times Union joins us now at JohnReed64 is the way to follow over on Twitter. You know that name. He used to cover the Hornets Pels here for the Times-Speaking Union and NOLA.com. Now covers the Jags in Jacksonville. John, first off, man, great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing good. That's a little different. Basketball. Yeah, but I'm enjoying it. It's a lot different.
I would say the number one difference other than just the sport itself, you got to cover practice in the heat, John. You see, you used to complain when we were at the Ilario Center. Now you'd rather be in that AC, man. It's been hot at Jacksonville. A lot of your stories about the heat and the type of practices Coach Doug Marrone's running.
Yeah, it's a little different than being at the arena. Yeah, no difference is, man, I tell you what, their training camp is just strenuous and tough. These guys, before they play the Saints tomorrow, they've been 9 straight days in full pads. And I look at the highlights and see some of these other training camps around here. I don't see them in full pads as much as these guys, but that was the formula last year, and it worked. And obviously, he's going back to that formula again this year.
John, that's what I was going to ask you. Last season had to be a nice ride and surprise. I don't think anybody had them facing the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
No, they didn't. And particularly the first padded practice year, they started quarterback Blake Bortles throws 5 interceptions. And, you know, back, I remember those early days of training camp last year, you know, all the talk was about how bad Blake Bortles was and this team. They brought in some good veterans. It was basically, can his offense score touchdowns? Because, you know, they pretty much had a good, solid defense. But I think the biggest turnaround has definitely been Blake, and it's also been, like, you know, they didn't lead from the script. They're a physical team. They like to pound the ball with Leonard Fournette. Got a good physical offensive line, and that carried them over to reaching that AFC championship game last year. And he never wavered from the script, which, you know, that kind of, you know, long 17-week football season, when you got all types of injuries and teams loading that box with 8-9 defenders in half, and you guys continue to run right at that, that was nothing more than amazing to me.
Jags beat reporter for the Florida Times Union, John Reed, with us talking about Jacksonville. You mentioned Leonard Fournette. Look, I think you saw him play in college, and you're like, I don't see how he can't be a solid NFL runner. A little bit of an injury thing every now and then, but for the most part, really a guy that this team could depend on, and I think moving forward is going to depend on a little more. Biggest difference you've seen from this training camp to last with him?
Well, he's definitely in better shape. I mean, last year he reported, you know, he was listed at 235, but I think he came in about 240, somewhere around 240. And, you know, initially Leonard had some problems learning the offense, therapy time, doing even in some preseason games where they had to, like, help them line up where to go and those kind of things. But all that's in the past. He came back, and he's lost 12 pounds. It looks like they're going to utilize him more on pass plays out the backfield, on screen plays to give him, you know, more opportunity in the open field. And yeah, I mean, you could just see his eagerness. Even the first day he came back, that he's out to prove a lot. And it's a difference in him from last year, obviously, with the year behind him and expectations. But you talking about Leonard Fournette, he was crying in the locker room after they lost that game to the Patriots, and you talking about Leonard Fournette, who didn't make any of those rookie teams, all rookie teams, or any of those things. So he's got a lot of drive in him, and you know, and also he's assuming a little more and more leadership. You know, he didn't really, you know, expect him to do that a year ago as a rookie, but he's assuming the leadership responsibilities in that running back room. And I've seen this kid play his thing off. he's a little more than just being that guy who can run over guys. I think he's going to be a smarter back. I don't know if he'd be waving guys to tackle him like he did in the Pittsburgh game, but they definitely want him to be a smarter running. He seems to accept that, you know, he's looking long-term durability and those kind of things.
Right.
But, I think he's learned his lessons as a rookie, and I think you can expect to see a big season from him.
Well, New Orleans has its own big-time young running back in Alvin Kamara. They also got a big-time young quarterback in Marshawn Lattimore, but goodness, Jalen Ramsey for the Jaguars, just one of the big many young names on that defense. I know, look, the Hoodats are pumped about their D, but John, I the Jaguars defense is pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. That defensive front is pretty good. Even the backup guys are pretty good. I'll probably need to ask you a question. A lot of more talk trash to receivers at the Saints practices as much as Jalen Ramsey talk trash to the...
I'll say this. They go back and forth, but if it makes any sense, when he battles Michael Thomas, it's almost a silent trash. It's almost at the very end when they get into it, but they both can kind of compete and get into that, but... You got to have, I guess, one of those prerequisites or the checklist to be a top corner in the league. You got to have that confidence level, don't you?
Yes, you do. I mean, I'll tell you something else, Gus. I mean, this guy basically missed the first 4 days of camp because he had his firstborn. He has a baby daughter, and he got an excused absence to miss those first weeks of practice. He comes back, you know, these guys was in shorts before they took on the pass for 2 days, and then he went in the full pass that Saturday. He comes immediately, miss all that, come out, get in pad, made pass breakups and all that like he ain't missed a beat, man. And that's enough for me to say that this guy is a special talent, because that's not something easy done,
right.
And it's definitely something that, you know, I mean, this guy got tremendous cover skills. He's smart. And then he gets inside of even his own receiver's head. So, he made a play yesterday where he tipped the ball. The ball went up in the air. He's falling down and catches the ball before he hits the turf. And it's just amazing some of the things that he can do. And A.J. Bouye on the other side of him on that other corner, man, it ain't that much difference in the skill level between those two guys. But that's what this team is. I mean, it's led by his defense, and those two shut down corners like that. And, I mean, it's, you know, if you the safeties, you don't really have to do a lot to get yourself in tough situations when those guys in man coverage like that. So they're tough, and they take a lot of things away from offenses. I don't think you're going to see much of either one of those corners tomorrow night against
right.
the Saints, though.
Two final quick questions. Obviously, speaking with John Reed, Jags beat reporter for the Florida Times Union, at JohnReed64, the way to follow on Twitter. A couple of connections, obviously, here. You, right, covered a lot of the teams here in New Orleans, Fournette. But
yeah.
Doug Marrone, look, he was a fantastic coach here in New Orleans. I thought did a great job in Buffalo. It was weird how that situation ended there. But the guy can coach, and you can see this turnaround because Jacksonville was a laughingstock. And then last year, AFC Championship game, and John, you know this from covering this team. Lots of people are picking them to win the AFC or be right back in that big game for a shot to go to the Super Bowl. When covering him now for this, going into second year, what is it about him that he has success when he's coaching?
Well, the one thing about him is he can relate to his players. I mean, he's one of the few coaches, I think, in this league who could just, you know, he can grind them. He can make them probably even say all, you know, telling what they say on the sideline because of the way his practices are conducted. They're very difficult. But the thing about him is that he has a plan. He never wavers from the plan. He knows. He's not only does he just know the offensive things that needs to be done, but he's a guy who just knows football. I mean, top to bottom, defense, offense. I mean, he played the game, wasn't a great player, but he knows. I think he also has an eye for talent. He knows what moves need to be made, but he never wavers from the plan, Gus. I mean, he's a guy who, he has this plan to come in that, yeah, I'm going to put you guys through this. It's going to be tougher in our practices than it's going to be in the games. And he has a way that those players buy into that. And he brought in a winning culture that these guys really confide in him and believe in him. He's the guy that they, you know, they could go behind the scenes, talk to, feel comfortable talking about family issues or anything. I mean, he's that type of coach. And I think the biggest thing about him is his relationship that he has with his players. Even when Jalen Ramsey was in Tennessee, missed those practices, in the summer, he went to Nashville to talk with him. He didn't take it over the telephone to talk about what the situation was with his girlfriend pregnancy. He went up there. Not a lot of coaches do things like that, I mean, and that's why those guys really go out and play hard for him. And now the culture has changed. And I think that's the biggest thing, that the culture in Jacksonville has changed under him.
Easy enough. In about a minute here, John, can you, what are the expectations for the Jaguars? I'm telling you, Hudat's over here. They're talking about partying in Atlanta, if you know what I'm saying. What is the expectation level from Jags fans?
Well, the Jags fans think that they was that close, 10 minutes away from getting to the Super Bowl, and they didn't get it done. They feel they got all the pieces back. They added a few more, and they feel that they might be joining the Saints fans there. Who that? They're in Atlanta with them.
Well, John, I tell you what, we'll have fun in Atlanta. We'll get together, lunch, dinner, beverages on me. It'd be great to see you again, especially since we became pretty good buddies covering the team from that first game with the Hornets. So I think you're qualified to answer this. We've got about a minute and a half before we break. Join our interns trying to convince me and the rest of the population of New Orleans that Jahlil Okafor is the missing piece to the New Orleans Pelicans since he signed a 2-year partial agreement. I said it's a nice deal in that there's no risk involved, but pump the brakes. He's saying all pro. I mean, he's ready to go. So, John, whose side are you on? Pump the brakes or difference maker in Jahlil Okafor?
I'll say this. I watched those guys last year a lot on television. I think he adds something to the team. And, Gus, he's a guy that they've been eyeing for the last two years at least. When it wasn't working out in Philly. I think you just got to add those pieces to that team. He let him buy into the system there and just let him go. He's not going to get you a lot of outside scoring. He's going to be an inside scorer. You add more to Anthony Davis and get some guys in there in the post and the help, and they, strong. They need help still, I think, at the small forward spot. So maybe he can play there, too.
that hasn't changed since your first game covering the Hornets, yeah, John.
Ain't that something? It hasn't changed, man.
John Reed.
Make sure you get a small forward.
Do you see why he's a pro? Covers the Jags, does a great job there, but did you hear how quickly he got into that hoop? See, he loves it, covering that basketball. John, pleasure, man, catching back up at John Reed 64, Jags beat reporter for the Florida Times Union. And you know what? I would love to look forward to catching up in Atlanta.
Yeah, we might be there. let's see if we can get there.
All right, buddy. Take care. Have a good season. See, Jordan, it's what I'm saying. I think it's a nice piece. If he works out and he adds to it, that's great. I'm just not ready to say he's an all-NBA player just yet.
Uh-huh.
Joey may have to intervene here in a little bit. That's all I'm saying. I somehow got to make it another hour next to you. Tomorrow, by the way, don't forget, we'll be at Vinny's Caddyshack, 3217 Ridge Lake over in Metairie, each and every Thursday. The Thursday ESPN Lunch Club will originate from there, so we'll be live. John 4K is going to stop by tomorrow. We'll help you get into that game mode tomorrow. Saints and Jags, we got a preseason game tomorrow, folks. It's game day tomorrow. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.